Good morning, and welcome back to America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th Anniversary Edition. Today is day 53 of the year, and I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are taking a break from the modern congressional roll call today to return to our presidential series. Last time we talked about James Buchanan, the man who stood paralyzed while the United States fell apart. Today we are looking at the man who had to pick up the pieces. He is arguably the greatest, most consequential figure in American history, the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln.
Stephen, Abraham Lincoln is so famous that he almost doesn't feel like a real person anymore. He feels like a marble statue at the end of the National Mall. But the real Lincoln, the politician, the lawyer, the commander-in-chief, is so much more fascinating than the myth. And we really have to start with his background, because he is the ultimate American rags-to-riches story. He was born in 1809 in a literal dirt floor log cabin in Kentucky. His mother died when he was 9. He had less than 12 months of formal schooling in his entire life.
He was entirely self-taught. He read the Bible, he read Shakespeare, he read the law, he moved to Illinois, failed as a store owner, and eventually became a circuit-riding lawyer. He actually served one term in the U.S. House of Representatives in the 1840s as a Whig. But he was deeply unpopular back home because he aggressively opposed the Mexican-American War. So he went back to Springfield, Illinois, and it looked like his political career was completely over.
Until the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854, we talked about this in the Franklin Pierce episode, that act allowed slavery to expand into the Western territories. Lincoln was so morally outraged by this that it pulled him right back into politics. He joined the brand new Republican Party. And in 1858, he runs for the U.S. Senate against Stephen A. Douglas. They engage in these legendary, hours-long debates across Illinois. Lincoln loses the Senate race, but his speeches are printed in newspapers all over the country. He delivers his famous house-divided speech, arguing that America cannot permanently endure half-slave and half-free. He becomes a national superstar.
And that superstar status wins him the Republican nomination for president in 1860. The Democratic Party is totally fractured into a northern and southern wing, so Lincoln wins the presidency without getting a single electoral vote from the South. In fact, his name wasn't even on the ballot in 10 southern states. And the moment he wins, the South panics. They know the expansion of slavery is over. Before Lincoln even takes the oath of office in March of 1861, 7 states secede from the Union, form the Confederacy, and start seizing federal forts.
So Lincoln inherits a country that is literally breaking in half. And he has to sneak into Washington, D.C. on a secret train in the middle of the night because of assassination plots in Baltimore. A month after his inauguration, the Confederates fire on Fort Sumter in South Carolina, and the Civil War begins. And Stephen, this is where we see Lincoln wield executive power like no president before or since. He completely suspended the writ of habeas corpus. He locked up Confederate sympathizers, politicians, and newspaper editors in Maryland without a trial, just to keep Maryland from seceding and surrounding Washington, D.C.
He argued that he had to break a few laws to save the entire Constitution, and he was a master of political management. When he built his cabinet, he didn't pick a bunch of yes-men. He picked his bitter rivals. He picked William Seward, Salmon P. Chase, and Edward Bates, the exact men he had just defeated for the Republican nomination. Historian Doris Kearns Goodwin famously called it the team of rivals. He needed every faction of the North united if they were going to win this war.
But winning the war was incredibly difficult. For the first 2 years, the Union Army was getting crushed in the East by Robert E. Lee. Lincoln was pulling his hair out, dealing with his own generals. He hired George McClellan to run the Army of the Potomac. McClellan was brilliant at training soldiers, but he was terrified to actually fight. He always thought he was outnumbered. Lincoln famously sent him a letter saying, "If you don't want to use the army, I should like to borrow it for a while." Lincoln went through general after general until he finally found Ulysses S. Grant, a man who understood that the only way to win was through relentless, brutal warfare.
And while the military strategy was evolving, Lincoln's political objective was evolving too. When the war started, Lincoln explicitly said his only goal was to save the Union, not to end slavery. But as the death toll mounted, he realized that the Union could not be saved unless the institution that caused the war was destroyed. So he drafts the Emancipation Proclamation. but his cabinet tells him, "You can't issue this now. We are losing the war. It will look like a desperate cry for help." He has to wait for a military victory.
And that victory came at the Battle of Antietam in September of 1862, the bloodiest single day in American military history. Days later, Lincoln issues the Emancipation Proclamation. It declares that on January 1st, 1863, all enslaved people in Confederate territory are, quote, 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 forever free. Now, strictly speaking, it didn't free slaves in the loyal border states like Kentucky or Maryland. But strategically, it was a genius move. It officially turned the war into a crusade to destroy slavery. It allowed black men to enlist in the Union Army. Nearly 200,000 of them eventually did. And it guaranteed that European powers like Great Britain could not step in to help the South because their own citizens would never support fighting a war to defend slavery.
And he crystallized that new moral purpose at Gettysburg in November 1863. The Gettysburg Address is only 272 words long. It took him 2 minutes to deliver. But in that speech, he redefined the United States. He said the war was a test of whether a nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, could endure. He called for a new birth of freedom.
By 1864, the war was dragging on, and Lincoln genuinely thought he was going to lose his re-election campaign. But General Sherman captures Atlanta, the North is energized, and Lincoln wins in a landslide. And he uses that mandate to do something incredible. He uses all of his political leverage, his patronage, and his backroom deals to push the 13th Amendment through Congress before the war even ends. He permanently abolishes slavery in the U.S. Constitution. He didn't just want a proclamation. He wanted it carved into the supreme law of the land.
And then, victory finally comes. General Lee surrenders at Appomattox Courthouse in April 1865. The Union is saved. The war is over. The great weight is finally lifted off his shoulders. And just 5 days later, he decides to take his wife Mary to see a comedy play at Ford's Theater. And John Wilkes Booth, a famous actor and a Confederate fanatic, sneaks into the presidential box and assassinates him.
It is the most heartbreaking tragedy in American history. He carried the nation through its darkest hour, he freed 4 million people, and he didn't get to live to see the peace. Secretary of War Edwin Stanton stood over his deathbed the next morning and famously said, "Now he belongs to the ages."
The self-taught lawyer from a dirt floor cabin.
The great emancipator and the savior of the Union.
That is President Abraham Lincoln. That is our profile for the 16th president. Join us next time as we look at the monumental challenges of Reconstruction. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.